You are listening to Voices of Youth in Care, a radio series about the child welfare system, produced by women who survived the system. When you ask young people about the challenges of living in care, they inevitably speak about being restrained and confined. It's a shockingly common procedure in child welfare homes and institutions. Having experienced these behavior management techniques firsthand, one woman on our team set out to document these practices. This is her documentary called Crisis Prevention.
James Preston Lonnie, Hamilton, Ontario, deceased September 7th, 1996 at 9:05 a.m. 16-year-old boy. Cause: homicide, compression to the brain and spinal cord, lack of oxygen, as well as multiple blunt objects to the head while in care at a child welfare institution. Stephanie Jobin, Hamilton, Ontario, deceased June 20th, 1998 at 11:30 a.m. 13-year-old autistic girl. Cause: homicide. Died of lack of oxygen to the brain while being restrained under a beanbag in a child welfare institution. William Edgar, Hamilton, Ontario, deceased March 13, 1999, at 2:57 p.m., 13-year-old boy. Cause of death: homicide. Died from brain damage caused by lack of oxygen to the brain while being restrained in a child welfare institution.
This is when the girls act out. We send them here to calm down, and then we can process with them. So we call this a back room, and that's secure to get violent is locked.
Wow, it's very small. What is this, like 3 feet by?
It's about 3x5 or so, 3x6.
Now, when a kid is put in here, describe what would happen.
Usually they're being violent, or they're bordering on being violent, and we want to protect safety is important, so we want to protect the kid, ourselves, and the other kid.
A staff member gave us a tour of a quiet room in a lockup institution.
So we would call security if there's time. Sometimes we would have to do it. Usually you can tell where they're going. So we would call security, they would come, and we tell security we want her in the QR. They'll put her in and lock the door. Once they're calm and ready to talk, then we'll move her from here to here, and hopefully quickly back into program. Sometimes we'll move them from here to a locked unit in town for a couple of days.
So who's security? What?
We have our own security right underneath the locked units over there. And if you look over to the right, there's a blue van part there.
Okay.
So we have like paddy wagons.
Now, are they the child care workers, or who are?
No, they're just security. But they don't process with the kids. Mind you, sometimes they do. Sometimes when security is here, a new face helps. Like if I'm dealing with a kid and I'm not getting anywhere, sometimes it's best for me to leave that kid alone. She's mad at me, so I'm not going to calm her down right now. I'll watch her go, so you see what you can do. And if she can't get anywhere and we need security, occasionally, they kind of like the security guys. Most of the time they're quite nice to them. So the security may be able to calm her down a little bit.
Hmm.
You'd be amazed, Doesn't mm-hmm. matter who carries you or whatever, mm-hmm. just so long as the kid doesn't get hurt.
Well, on my elbow, up here on my elbows, just up here was bruised. I had cuts on my knees because when they had to put me on the floor, and on my back I had bruises about maybe one of them was like this long from my knee.
So about 2 inches long?
Yeah, on my back from my knee. They had a knee on my back and my arms like this.
When a lot of kids make complaints, nobody does anything.
They laugh in your face.
If one of the staff hits you, it will never go through. When I was getting restrained and I got hurt, staff didn't do nothing after me.
Yeah, but you were getting restrained.
I was getting restrained because I was going to lock up. They have to restrain me. I had a cast on it.
Oh, yeah.
They put full force on me.
Well, the way you are, for sure you were fighting back. You were like,
I struggled with my
once
feet.
Once they see you trying to fight off, they don't care.
They're gonna throw you around the room.
The room? Remember the room? Man.
Yeah, they used to put me in the room too. Don't feel bad.
No, but
no, he got shot around.
I mean, like where they grab my hands and then try it. Do some kind of karate stuff in my nose just started bleeding. I was like, what the hell is this?
They'll talk to your parents and everything. Your parents will most likely cover it up. And then you're stuck and you're stuck looking like a liar because they're going to believe your parents over some child. I got restrained my first time. I struggled. I was kicking, screaming. Don't do that. It hurts. It'll hurt you more if you fight the staff because they'll just hurt you more. Because when I was in my group, old group home, I was getting restrained. And I almost got my arm broken, my wrist broken by them. And I had a problem that year with my back, and they were sitting, kneeing me, putting all their full weight on my back. They really hurt me. At some points, I had bruises, and I had to have a wristband around my wrist because they hurt me so badly in elementary. They used to lock you in a room.
We interviewed a staff member about restraining clients and what his experience and his thoughts were about the subject.
Well, we've all been trained in a particular method of restraining people. The physical part of it is supposed to move exactly the same or more or less the same in most situations. However, when push comes to shove, people tend to do what they feel is the safe thing at the moment. As far as I'm concerned, the best way to restrain a kid is to call security and have two people who are trained to work together and do it on a daily basis. They are more likely to do it safely and efficiently than I would and many of the people that I work with. So if you have the option, I'd call security. I don't have the option, which I didn't today. I had to restrain two kids today just because they were fighting and somebody was about to get hurt. So in that case, I got between them. I was lucky. They were two little boys and I was able to hold them apart. And then I hit my panic button and actually security didn't come because by the time they got the message, the boys were on their way to the room. I hit the button just before I did anything to make sure that help was coming. Well, you know, our first priority is safety. So just about anybody I work with is willing to go the extra mile in the name of safety. However, you don't want to get into a situation that you can't sort of follow through on. So, you know, so the first response is to hit the buzzer and call for help. And then depending on how quickly or not that help arrives, you need to figure out your next move. However, if there is no clear and present danger, there is no restraint.
All they really had to do with me was to ask me to relax, and that was really it. But they always chose to grab me and restrain me.
Yeah.
Do all this hard stuff for nothing.
Restraint would only happen if the kid is in danger of hurting himself or somebody else.
How do the security guards the two-person restraining? How does that actually physically work?
There's a dance, so to speak, that they do, and it's a specific takedown and how to handle people on their way to the floor and how to immobilize them without getting hurt.
You began talking about restraints in this institution. You've done a lot of work fighting against excessive force.
Absolutely.
Can you tell us about that?
Yes, quite a while ago, like in the late 90s, young people were talking to us about being injured during physical restraints and feeling unsafe when they were being restrained and not understanding why they were being restrained and why other alternatives weren't being used. And so we began asking the questions and reviewing circumstances at various agencies and institutions about restraints, and sure enough, kids were being injured.
We had interviewed an amazing child advocate. She's the chief child advocate in Ontario. Her name is Judy Finley.
And so we wrote a report, and again, it was young people voice, and it was called Voices from Within, Youth in Care Speak Out. And they spoke out about physical restraints. And I'm not just talking about the youth justice system. I'm talking about the child welfare system, the children's mental health system, group care, kids who have developmental disabilities. We crossed all the service sectors and talked to 315 kids about physical restraints. And there was consistency no matter where they were in the province and what kind of agency they were in. And so we released that report, and we made lots of recommendations. And again, it was really funny because people took offense to what kids had to say. When I said it, it was okay, but when kids said it in their words, in their voice, people very much took offense to it. But we stood firm. We left the voice in there just exactly how kids had articulated it. And then we asked the government to look into this, to form a committee and look at best practice around physical restraints. And of course, I want there to be no physical restraints in this province. And they began to form a committee, but it was kind of, it was very slow, not the committee, the government there was very slow in doing that. And two young people died from physical restraints in two different group homes in two different parts of the province, within a period of a few months of each other. So we had two inquests, and that really sparked public debate about it. And the committee got their work done and made recommendations around best practice for physical restraints. Now there's regulations and laws about it, and people are now hesitant to use restraints except in extreme circumstances in the province. So we're pleased about that, but I'm still going to hold firm that I don't believe there should be the use of physical restraints with kids in group care.
Were those the only two inquests that were made in Ontario about children who had died in care?
No. Interestingly, since 1977, there was no deaths of kids in care. But as of 1996, there's a death a year of kids in group care.
Can other measures be taken to crisis prevention?
Oh, there's lots of
measures. Has that even been looked at in Quebec?
The training that we take on restraining, the restraining part, it's usually a three-day training, 45 minutes on the third day. Day one, two, and 90% of day three is all crisis intervention, which is a model for de-escalating people without physical contact. And, to the extent that that'll work, then the restraining part is really at the end, So the bulk of our training is de-escalating techniques as opposed to physically holding people apart.
If you struggle, they do it, they find another way, and that usually way is more painful.
Just don't struggle. It's even worse.
Don't do that. It hurts. It'll hurt you more if you fight the staff, because they'll just hurt you more because...
Being held down and you don't want to. It's like someone putting you to the floor with their force, hitting the floor and your face is on the floor, rubbing you all up on the floor and then your clothes are getting dirty. And I just say don't struggle.
No, they'll put you in there and they'll lock you in with a desk and a chair and that's it. You just sit there and do nothing. Or when I was in a group home, after you're done getting restrained, the security guys will take you to a van and drive you to lockup. Sometimes they'll handcuff you. The maximum you can stay there if you're on backup is 8 days.
Have you ever made a complaint against the staff?
Yeah, nothing happened. They hurt me when they restrained me. The nurse even told me that, they're too rough. The nurse tried to talk to them, telling them to be more gentle with the kids.
How do you think it affects kids emotionally and psychologically to be restrained?
Oh, I think it must be absolutely devastating. It must be absolutely horrible. And if I close my eyes and think about it, it was absolutely awful. It was absolutely terrible. Probably brings back many, many disturbing memories of either being physically abused or sexually abused or psychologically abused or emotionally abused. I think it probably runs the gamut of all those things. And it seems to me it's kind of like a shortcut to the emotions. That, once people put hands on you and restrain you, that it's likely to jerk you way back to, when you were 5 or 6 and whatever horrible thing was going on. 2, 3, 4.
Were you ever physically abused at home?
Yes. I don't like being touched. Like, if you're going to be, like, I don't mind play fighting. You know, that's fun. But if you're going to hurt me, no, you don't touch me.
After I just got angry. After when I get angry, what happened? Can't remember.
Well, you better listen, my sisters and brothers. Because if you do, you can hear their voices still calling across the years. And they're all crying across the ocean. And they're crying across the land. And they will till we all come to understand. None of us are free. None of us are free. None of us are free. One of us are chained. None of us are free. And there are people still in darkness, and they just can't see the light. If you don't say it's wrong, then that says it's right.
Sometimes I think I have some insights into certain things that have gone on. But generally speaking, I rely much more on my training than my emotional responses.